I want to say to you all this morning, that's a great job that has happened. The longer the testimonies, the better when I'm speaking. Yeah.
And you don't have to pay us.
Hey, take note, and the next time you know that I'm speaking, take note. A nice long testimony is good. Yeah. You know, first I just want to pray. Let me get some tissues first. You're so good to us, God. You're so good. You're so merciful. In light of all around us and where we could be today, our hearts are torn open, knowing how much you love us. Thank you for the testimony of the saints of God, the blessings that you poured upon us in our lifetime. And the biggest one of all, that you found us lost, dying in our sins, not knowing where to go or where to turn, and you reach down into the depths of our soul, and you brought us to yourself. So we are grateful, God. And talking about Thanksgiving, we thank you so much for that. And we also thank you for using us to tell others of your goodness. In regards to this moment of speaking this morning, God, you know I've tried so hard to pull a message together, and yet I feel so inadequate, and yet I know that you're here. And that you have something for us. So I submit myself to you, Lord. I pray for your anointing and I pray that when this service is said and done, you will have been lifted up and we will have been challenged, all of us, to draw nearer to you. And together as the body of Christ. So these things I'm asking you, Lord. Amen. All right, so I have tried so hard. I know I've expressed this before here, and so you know my heart with all of this. I just say, God, I have all of these thoughts and ideas, and I just don't know how to pull them together that well. So I'm going to start with a little story and try to make sense of all of this that I've written down. As most of you know, I work at a prison, and December the 31st is my last day there. So I'm retiring from state, as you know this. And as I reflect on my experiences for nearly 20 years there, there's one experience I don't think I'll ever forget. About a month ago, I was really, really tired. And I was working this, we call it a post. And at the end of the day, there was a shift change about ready to occur. It was right around 5:30. the night shift was coming in, and myself being on day shift, I was working this what we call the roving patrol post, and you're in a vehicle and you're armed, and the protocol is that you are doing your part to prevent any kind of escape or anything of that nature. And I was really tired, so tired. I had not slept well on Friday night, and I had gone to work at 5:30 a.m., and I had woken up around 3 or something. And I mean, you've all been on a long trip, and so I was traveling around the institution for about the sixth hour, just barely hanging on, looking a little bit like Will right now. Only I was driving a truck, and you can't nod off when you're driving a truck, and you have weapons on you. I rounded a corner. The institution is rectangular shaped, and at each corner of the institution, there's a tower. And I rounded the tower. It's tower number 2. And I was hanging on and praying, oh, God, let me get relieved today. Let enough people come in on the shift to ensure that I can get off and go home and maybe take a nap. Well, I rounded the corner. And in my line of work, you're taught to be prepared for unusual circumstances. In an instant, you may have to react to things. I rounded this corner, and up ahead of me, about 60 or so yards, there was a person. And it was a person in a yellow and silver or gray lightweight windbreaker kind of a coat. Well, that is obviously most unusual, right? Because you have someone walking your perimeter fence. And many things go through your mind. You're thinking, okay, I'm here to prevent an escape. But then this person was walking across along the fence, the perimeter fence. And as I was putting it together, I mashed on the accelerator to get up there quickly. The person turned around and saw me and started to run. So I knew that my truck was faster than that person. And as I got up closer, I had been on the two-way radio to alert others in the camp. You can't just let something like that go. You can't just pretend like you don't see it. You have to get busy. You have to let what you've been taught kick in. And as I got closer, I saw that it was a child. And I made the call on the radio. I said, there's a child out here. It was a little girl. I think she was maybe around 12 years old, roughly. But first, I thought it was a boy. And I had my radio keyed in while I was talking to this little girl so that people would understand the reality of what's happening here. We have a child walking the perimeter fence at the prison. So in order to distract her, I said I had pulled up beside her. I couldn't stay there long because something like that can be a distraction for an escape. All the focus of attention can go to that spot while somebody else could make a run for it. You have to be aware of these kinds of situations that could occur. Well, that didn't happen. But I couldn't just stay there because my job is to keep moving. And this little girl looked at me and I said, what are you doing here? And she just shrugged her shoulders and she absolutely looked completely lost. And She was in a daze. I said, "Do you know this is a prison?" And she said, "No." And she turned around and looked up at the fence with the curly wire around it. And then just, it seemed like less than a minute, people poured in to that situation, and I was able to keep moving. So the shift is over right around 6-ish. So when I parked my truck and got all of my gear to turn it back in, there was a police officer who had come, and to me, he was quite rude to this little girl. She would say nothing to him. He just wanted her to tell her name or where she was from, but she would say nothing. She wouldn't say anything at all. And so many things went through my mind about all of that. One was the officer was really, really rude, and I wasn't the only one who thought this. And he grabbed her by the arm and drug her over to the squad car. Well, that's where my stay there ended. I had to go inside and fill out a report on all of this. So the word came back about this little girl that she had escaped from a children's home. And she had stolen a car. She had stolen a car at that age. And she had driven it, trying to get to Charlottesville, to her foster parents. Now think about that for a second. Here's a child, 12 years old, who's trying to get to her foster parents. Anybody who knows anything about foster parenting, you'll know that if they're no longer with a foster parent, there's a reason for that, right? We have some friends, a couple who had a foster daughter for a little while, and they had to give her up because of some issues that they couldn't control, and they became concerned about their own children in regards to. So I came home. I still have a vision of this little girl in her eyes. She is so lost. And you compound that with all of the other children that are in that home. I'd heard that, according to our camera footage, she had roamed the parking lot. Her car had run off into a ditch. So she had found Coffeewood Lane, and she came up and was going through the parking lot trying to open car doors to get another one to continue her journey. But I guess they were all locked, and she ended up where she was. And I came home just broken, just like thinking about it now. And all of these children who have no one to love them, to really love them. They have someone who's employed to help them follow rules, to feed them, to counsel with them. Don, you mentioned your grandson. Sounds like he's older than ours. We had one of our grandsons yesterday for a while. You know, we just love him. We hold him in our lap. We give him snacks. We spoil him a little bit. That's what grandparents are for, you know. We spoiled him a little bit. We watched this TV program that he was very familiar with. It was a cartoon, Bluey. You ever heard of Bluey? Well, it was relatively boring to us, but Levi, he just knew these names and things, and he just jumped up beside me and snuggled up with me while we ate crackers. Then he got down and got some water, and he would just come up right against me and expect that I'm going to pick him up, and I will, and I did. And put him beside me and put my arm around him and hold him there, loved and warm and safe with his little tummy filled. But these little children in these homes, they've been through all kinds of things. So as they become adults, they get into all kinds of trouble. And I thought to myself, concerning us as a nation, what have we done? What have we done? We live in a society that does everything possible to separate itself from God. To do that, you separate yourself from all kinds of godly things like family, like love. Like love between a man and a woman consummating in marriage. We see it all the time on the news. Lori and I watch the NBC News out of Charlottesville. Very, very liberal. And you say, well, why do you watch it? We don't really know. We just watch it. And we look at each other and say, oh, brother, what's next? Listen, I've been still studying the book of Revelation. And, it's kind of hard to study that book and not, like, focus on things like judgments, right? It's like, you can't help it because it's all right there in front of you. And we've been watching these British murder mysteries. They've been very, very wholesome, very clean for the most part, very informative. There's something about the British actors and actresses, right? And I forgot where I was because I looked at the clock and I only have 13 minutes left, and that's really good. Reading in the book of Revelation, you ponder these things. You see that the church gets taken out, and then great evil befalls society, much greater than what we're seeing now. And it's a result of God's judgments pouring out. But then there comes this time. You can read it yourself later. I'm not going to read it. I jotted it down. But in chapter 8, verses 1 through 4, it says that there was a span of a half an hour when all of heaven was silent. Do you remember that? If you don't, you can read it yourself in chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. All of heaven was silent. Vernon McGee says, all of heaven and hell and the earth were silent. Up to that point, there had been many destructive things that occurred in regards to God's judgment of people who reject him, right? We all know that and are familiar with it in the book of Revelation. Men will curse God and die. Curse him and die, knowing and choosing willfully to do that. Willingly. It's their choice. Intelligently deciding to do that. And that's what we're facing in our world today. People hate God. People hate the notion of how dare you tell me I need to bow to a Savior. I don't need a Savior. I have found within my inner self the peace that I need in life. I don't need your Savior or your God. Willfully, choosing intelligently to refuse God and reject him. This is why these judgments are coming. It escalates to that point. It's kind of hard to fit that in with Thanksgiving, isn't it? But it is very real. you think your struggles today are bad. I think mine are bad sometimes. But I go to that little girl that I saw her face to face, eye to eye, and I saw she was totally lost. She was absolutely lost, not understanding love, real love, like you and I can give to our children and grandchildren. We love them and we show it to them, but these children have nothing. The world is lost like that today. They're looking for love, but they're not going to find it in all those places they're searching. It's not going to last. We are spending trillions of dollars thinking the world's going to become a better place. We hand out, I'm not criticizing a presidential politics. I'm not doing that. I'm just saying we are looking for peace and love in all kinds of wrong places. It's kind of like the Linda Ronstadt song of years ago, looking for love in all the wrong places and looking for love in too many faces. People really believe that we're having a betterment of the world because of our cultural shifting that is occurring. Now, we all know better, all of us here. We see these things and we scratch our heads, and yet at the same time, as believers, we know that the world is going to come to that. It's well on the way. But as believers in Jesus, I wanted to open with this Thanksgiving song, and I didn't, but give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ his Son. And now, let the weak say it, I am strong. Let the poor say it, I am rich. Right? Because of what the Lord has done. I can't help it. Anytime that I put a sermon together, I think of songs that come to mind. And one was quite funny that I remembered. Part of the song said, run, Samson, run. Delilah's going to get you. Run, Samson, run. She's going to cut your hair. Run, Samson, run. You're going to go to prison and you're going to die down there. Right? When we have things in our lives that we think are really hard, and they probably are really hard, sometimes we need to go away. Sometimes the problems that we face are because of choices we're making to participate in something. And we need to run. Delilah's going to cut our hair. We're going to lose our power. Right? We're going to go to prison and die down there in the dungeons. It's not worth it. So our struggles, yes, they are real. But overall, the pain in life, as this little girl and others like her, you and I, for the most part, will not experience that. We won't have that. But the lost state of mankind is in that same predicament. They're in a daze. We think we're going to have peace through government. We think we're going to have peace through money. We think we're going to have peace through just about anything that's contrary to God's word. They hate us. Because they hate God. They say, some of them, they respect God, but they hate Jesus. They hate Jesus. But we're not surprised at that, because Jesus said that they would. And he said, they will hate you, not because of you, but they'll hate you because they hate me. That's what Jesus said. This is so real. We have to stay focused. Run, Samson, run. There are times you need to. Now, I still yet don't know how to tie all this together, but I'm going to read a couple scripture verses. I don't think I've lost you, have I? 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. And now, this is the Amplified Bible. And now let me remind you, since it seems to have escaped you, brethren, that's you and me, of the gospel, the glad tidings of salvation, which I proclaimed to you, which you welcomed and accepted upon and upon which your faith rests, and by which you are saved, if you hold fast and keep firmly what I preached to you, unless you believed at first without effect, and all for nothing. For I passed on to you, first of all, what I also had received, that Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, died for our sins in accordance with what the Scriptures foretold, that he was buried, that he arose on the third day as the Scriptures foretold. Going to 1 Peter chapter 2. Verses 6, 7, and 8. For thus it stands in Scripture, behold, I am laying in Zion a chosen, precious, chief cornerstone, and he who believes in him shall never be disappointed or put to shame. To you then who believe is the preciousness, but for those who disbelieve, it is true, the very stone which the builders rejected has become the main cornerstone and a stone that will cause stumbling and a rock that will give men offense. They stumble because they disobey and disbelieve God's word, as those who reject him were destined or appointed to do. I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone. He is called Wonderful, Counselor, the Prince of Peace, Almighty God, and the Everlasting Father. That is Jesus. Jesus sees that little girl I was telling you about. He sees all of those children in that home in Culpeper County. I wonder how many homes like that are in Virginia. I wonder how many homes like that are in our nation, filled with little children who've been abused, who have no one to really love them like a mom or dad. Lostness. It is very real. It is sad commentary. In that span of a half an hour, and I think I really sat and thought about that for a half an hour. When I pondered that, for the span of a half an hour, the earth and heaven were still. Vernon McGee's description of that, it was a moment in time for the world to regroup. You see, we love the earth. We have our hikes, our beautiful places that we go to. We love God's creation because it gives us a picture of him and who he is. And yet, the strangeness of God, this strange act of God of destroying part of the earth, and so much of his people, population of the world. Isn't it strange? It's such a strange thing, but we don't make this rule. I would have a tendency to not believe all of that if it weren't for this book. I would have a tendency to believe in the homosexuality and the stories that people give and the sadness and all that comes with it. If it weren't for this, I might be inclined to believe that. But you and I, as believers in God, we know that he speaks to us through this. He gives us a much better way. He gives us a much better alternative. So don't think you're out there alone. Don't think your struggle is insurmountable, because it's not. Really, there is always somebody worse off than we are. Isn't that right? There are people starving to death. The nation of India is a great nation in size, and people are starving to death by the hundreds and thousands, children included. And there's beef walking around the streets. I don't mean that really harshly, but we look at that, and in the name of a religion, it doesn't make sense. Yet as believers, we know it makes sense, because people have chosen and nations have chosen to not believe in God. Lord, I'm not sure about all of that I just said, but help us to draw closer to you. Help us, Lord. I ask you, Lord, that you would use us for the building of your kingdom in these up and coming days and times in which we live. Help us not to be involved in so much vain conversation that leads nowhere. Help us to keep our focus on you somehow, and to be what you've called us to be. And help us, Lord, to go to this book, because we know this is where you speak to us. There are so many voices out there, but we have the answers right here. May we be challenged, God. May we be just utterly challenged to open this book during the week, this week, and to read it. Minister to us, your people, Lord. Use us for the building of your kingdom. Amen.